actually, the you'll notice you're here kind of except for the sound booth crew, because we're not allowing anyone to come live for the Sunday school class, but you're allowed because you're visitors, so you're perfect. And we're happy to have you here today, and we've made that clear, but I just want to kind of let you know that's why you don't see anyone here. This is our Sunday school portion. This is a 25-minute Sunday school class, and then there's a little intermission, and then we'll have the regular service. Praise the Lord. So, Brother Kevin, we're all straight then. Ah, you got it. Perfect. That's excellent, brother. All right, so I want then to, since I'm only using slide one and slide two, Brother Kevin, then you won't need to worry about me getting the program. So if you'll just switch it for me, that would be amazing. Now let me get all my ducks in a row here. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so let's look then. Let's pull to our very first slide, the very next slide, and it should be the scripture, exactly so. So this is our series, our study on the book of Revelation, and we're going through a series, and I'm just so enjoying it. Today will actually be part six for those of you who are streaming and those who are driving along listening and streaming perhaps. You know, while that's on my mind, I noticed that I couldn't find the audio only link the other day when I was driving in streaming Brother Jason DeMars. And I hit a certain part and it froze up on me, because I'd like to get that audio link available while I'm driving. That way I'm not distracted watching a video. Pardon? I don't. Unless it's hidden and I'm not noticing it. But if you'll make sure that that live stream has an audio link, that's best for when you're driving and your signal's going up and down. Plus, you're not distracted. All right, so we want then to look at this very first verse. We're still on it. This is part six, but imagine we're still on verse one. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. All right, now, one of the things that I've decided to do today is I'm going to change up a little bit how I'm going through this book of Revelation. I realized that even with today being part six, the way I'm going about it, I mean, just to get through the first couple of verses of the very first chapter, is going to take just a long time in the way that I was doing it, because I have a lot of notes from over the years. I have notes that I've made. I have notes that I've set in on teaching ministry before. I have the entire collection that Brother Lonnie Jenkins preached on back in the late 90s and early 2000s. I have all of that transcribed, and I have all of that to draw from, and I'm kind of going through that in a project with another brother, you know, kind of editing and fixing typos, and then kind of bringing it to a, you know, what I would call a 2020, because our understanding has broadened since the early 2000s, late 90s and early 2000s, and so it should be. And so but if I'm going that methodically, it's going to take, it could take a year. Now, I want to announce that on our podcast that we are beginning to stream, we have finished our introduction video, and we're now going to begin holding the podcast. I am planning to go through the book of Revelation like I have been, very methodically. And if it takes me 500 recordings to do it, I want to go through the entire book. But here, because our Sunday school class is limited to just 25 minutes, I want to just do it a little bit more in overview. I still plan to stop and hover over parts that I think are very, very important. Last time, we had the church understanding that we brought it down to the bride, and I was making this point on the last one, how that the bride of this age, we're not exactly with the same mindset, I think is the word I used, or maybe it's the same. Our mission doesn't look identical to the ages, because if you just think it through, during the ages, every age was going to pass to another age. And there was going to be a lapping over, a fading out of one, a starting up of another, and a different star, a different messenger with a different mission and a different and a further understanding of the word. And so because of that, that all of those ages, unbeknownst to them, because if you know, Brother Branham talks about how that the Lord would not really let them know that it was going to be 2,000 years, that would have discouraged them. Because you know as well as I know that a belief in the immediacy of Christ's return is strengthening. And I don't think the Lord wanted them to lose that. I think in every age, he wanted them to believe that his return was imminent. Now, we can look back in hindsight over 2,000 years of history. We now have the restoration of the original teaching of the apostles by the opening of the seals. And not a new gospel, not an addition to the gospel, but a full, complete unveiling of God with and including parts that the bride body of Christ were to fulfill that the very first original age was not able to do. And so they began to fall away. We've taught on that many times. And how that our mission then becomes slightly different, because we are the church that will not taste death. We are the last age, and the bride leaves the ages at the end of chapter 3, and she goes into a rapture. And Brother Branham said she's not seen again until Revelation 19. Now then, chapter 4 picks up a transition of the opening of the word. It moves right into the throne room scene of the sealed book and a strong angel calling for a worthy one to come, John representing the bride. And then from there, you know, chapter 6, 7, 8 goes on, starts talking about the seven sealed mystery. Chapter 10 has him coming with an open book, with a messenger on the earth who is the facilitator. Brother Branham was not the interpreter. Only Christ could open the seals. Brother Branham, being a prophet, was a facilitator for God, because God only reveals these great things through prophets, and then the prophets give it to the people. And that's exactly what happens. John, representing the bride, is commanded to go and ask for the little book. He does. He's given it, but said you must eat it because you're going to have to become it. So we realize that that's the age that we have come into, and we realize that this is the age of the catching away, where the world has returned to a Sodom and Gomorrah condition. And we realize that the bride is going to step into another dimension. She's not, going beyond the Milky Way and going way off into the reaches of space. She's simply transitioning into another dimension. When the saints from the ages resurrect, they will be very much real, but they will be operating in a dimension that the world cannot see. And so it's not to say that that couldn't happen, because Brother Branham talks about how that when Abraham was raised at the first part of the first resurrection, that he and Sarah, while touring Jerusalem, got spotted. And I don't know that he got clearly identified. Brother Branham is somewhat ambiguous on that, but just, you know, telling the narrative, said Abraham said, "Oh, Sarah, we got to go. We've been spotted." So I don't know. Listen, friends, there's some of this that we don't know, and all the teaching in the world isn't going to bring it to us. What we have found in this first verse of the book of Revelation, there's been a number of things that I think that we can well establish. And that is that this would not be, the book of Revelation was written for the church. That's why Jesus doesn't outline its mysteries in the Gospels. Paul doesn't outline its mysteries in his letters. We find that John brings it back from his prison imprisonment on Patmos. And it is a book to the church, and it's a revelation, which means an uncovering, an apocalypse. It's an uncovering. And what it simply is, in the simplest way to say it and understand it, it is that this is the continuation of Jesus Christ in his church, not the continuation of the nail-scarred man. The nail-scarred man fulfilled his destiny in the earth, paid redemption's price at Calvary. That body was laid on an altar, as Brother Branham says over and over again, as a perpetual atonement, his blood speaking for us. But that life that was in Christ, that lived in that nail-scarred man, has been returned back to the church, and it's the same Jesus. It's not a different Jesus. In fact, is when Paul encounters him on the road, he's already in that form of the pillar of fire and accuses Paul of persecuting Jesus. But Paul never persecuted Jesus, but he was persecuting the church and thus persecuting Jesus, because the Lord Jesus was now living in his church. The same Jesus that Paul speaks of in Ephesians 3, who created the whole world. The same Logos that John identified was God, and all things were made by him, and not anything was made that was made. He made everything, and there was nothing made that he didn't make. And so now the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show the servants. So now it's a unlocked mystery to us, and we look at it in perspective. It gives us context now to how that Christ operated down through the ages. That it was Christ in his church manifesting himself in flesh. And when you see that, then you begin to understand who Jesus was in a much broader sense. You realize that Jesus Christ was not just the man that walked the shores of Galilee. Jesus Christ primarily is the Word in whatever manifestation the Word comes to in your age. That's Jesus to your age. So when people today try to claim that Jesus Christ is their Lord and that they are Christians, and yet you don't see the life of Jesus living in them, there's a reason for that. The reason for that is that they've only understood a historical story of when he was a man and that day on Calvary, and I understand that's necessary to lead you to salvation. Faith in Christ hanging on a cross as the propitiation for your sins, my sins, and God, who couldn't die in spirit form, inhabits a human body that he creates from his own word, both seed and egg created in the womb of the virgin, and therefore he is the Word made flesh. But what the book of Revelation was going to bring us to understand, that it would be, this was what Paul referred to as the great mystery. And the only thing Paul says about it is that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so the book of Revelation now is all about that mystery, that we find out that as God, as the Logos, as Jesus, the eternal God, that he come in his Father's name. His name at all has always been that. And when we find out that he lived in a single body that walked the shores of Galilee, and they wanted to make him a king, but we realize that Jesus showed them that that couldn't be, because a seed that didn't die abideth alone. But if it die, then it brings forth much. And so when people look simply back to a historical Jesus, and they realize that that's the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the reason that they're missing the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the full new birth is because they don't see that same Jesus now living in a many-membered body, whereas that Logos that dwelt in one body now lives in a many-membered body. And Brother Branham uses that very exact language, that this bride globally, by the token, is the fullness once again of the Word made flesh. So you want to remember that's what the book of Revelation is all about. And that's why the world is missing it. They don't realize that same historical character lives today. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was alive yesterday. He's alive today. He was alive before he lived on the earth, born of a virgin. He was alive before there was stardust. It's the same God unfolding himself, and that's the great mystery of the Godhead. So you always want to remember when you're trying to explain that to somebody, that he is primarily the Word. He's not merely a historical figure. That's what verse 1 is telling you. That's what the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, catch it, things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So he had an angel messenger, a prophet, in the first age, the Apostle Paul, and he bookends the ages at the end time with another prophet, an angel messenger, so that the fullness of the word, reformers could never get there, the fullness of the word has to come to pass, because the book of Revelation is declaring and showing how that same Jesus who lived would die, be buried, resurrect, empty paradise, take the Old Testament saints home, lay that body on an altar, descend back into the earth, come into his church, and then synchronously live in his church through seven contiguous, not only continuous, they were contiguous in that they butted up against each other. There was no in-between space in the church where Jesus wasn't active. That's the contiguousness of the ages. But they were also continuous and overlapping, so that they overlapped, as we talked about the Olympiad, where the relay runner takes off running, and the man's coming behind him, reaching forth with the baton. He takes it, the man behind fades off, the man with it now runs forward until he gets to the next man. This is why Paul would say that we're, you know, everyone enters a race, but only the ones who finish it win the race. And so Paul even uses the Olympics there in Greece and the games that they had there to illustrate the journey that the church is on. And so we realize then that we are the last leg of the relay. We run all the way to the body change, or you could call it part two of the first resurrection, because part one of the first resurrection was when Christ ascended up with the Old Testament saints, emptying paradise. And this is why the Bible talks about that the ones who are redeemed and made part of the first resurrection and go in the rapture at the day and hour that we live in, these are the ones upon whom the second death hath no power. There's a general resurrection for judgment, but we're not part of that, because we're part of the first resurrection. We're the second half of the first resurrection. And so we realize then that the meaning of Revelation 1:1 showing us that Christ is the Word in whatever manifestation the Word comes in your age. That's the Jesus of your age. And that's exactly why that the Bible teaches us, and we've taught on this extensively in the podcast. I'll go into it more with more detail, but we've taught on it extensively that you only come to the new birth by a revelation of Jesus Christ, who is the Word. And it's they asked Brother Branham. He says, Brother Branham, would speaking in the third person, would say, you say, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? And he says, it is a revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you personally. And so Christ is his Word. And so every time that God reveals by his Spirit his Word, his personage in his Word to someone, and they accept that and amen that, then that is their pathway. That is God's provided way to the new birth. God only has one provided way, and that's through the blood of his Son. And that's why John would say that if we walk in the light, who's the light? Christ. What's Christ? The Word. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus at the communion supper says to them, take this cup. It is my blood in the New Testament. See, so we find out then that Christ being his word, John says, if we walk in the understanding of his word, if we walk in the revealed Christ who's revealing himself, not merely the historical figure. That's necessary, but it's not merely that. That if we fail, you could stand all day long and agree that the man who hung on Calvary was God in flesh. His words were true, and you believe it? Absolutely. But if you then rejected the doctrine and teachings of the apostles, there would be no way to stand in the presence of God accepted. You couldn't do that. You couldn't come up to God and say, Lord, I was at Golgotha. I saw you die. I followed you. I believed you. I heard your teachings. I accept you. But this Peter guy and Paul and John and James, and Jude, I don't need them. I don't need them telling me. I just want Jesus. But you would never stand in the presence of God acceptably with that kind of an attitude. Neither can you do it today. You have to receive God in Christ, in his word, and thus John would say, if we walk in the light, the revealed word, Christ, in the form of his word revealed, if we walk in that light as he's in the light, as he's revealing it, then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Then we have fellowship one with another. Why? Because we are the unified family of God, birthed by faith in the word, which is Christ. All right. So we find then that his form in this age of the book of Revelation, that his form, the form of Christ, is the true church. That when you have Christ embodied in a believer by the Holy Ghost, that's the true church. That's why that in the early era, in the early years, the spirit of Antichrist rose up, trying to build a church and called themselves the true church, the pure ecclesia, and called the true church false, and called themselves, who were false, true. And God just simply came down and says, all right, fine, if you're going to take that label, then I'm going to require it of you. And if you don't come my provided way, then I'm going to judge you for that. Because even you see that principle in the Gospels. Jesus comes and he's just, deriding the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians and all of these false teachers and lawyers, and woe unto you. And, and you're full of dead men's bones, and men walk over the top of you and don't realize they're walking over tombs. And here these holy men say, are we blind also? And Jesus says to them, if you actually were blind, then you'd actually have kind of a leg to stand on. You'd have a little bit of an excuse because you'd be blind and you can't disbelieve what you don't know, what you don't see. So God would have a hard time convicting you of sin because you can't disbelieve what you don't know. But because you say we see, your sin remains. And so we find that right here, coming into the early ages, that the false church rose up saying, we're the church. And Jesus says, fine, that's the way you want to play, that's the way we'll go, and that's why he's going to judge her as a whore at the end time, because she prostituted herself, claiming to be his wife, claiming to be his bride, but prostituted the word of God and adulterated the word of God and went a whoring with the sins of the world. But in every age, God maintained a true bride, Christ walking in the midst of the seven lampstands. And so we're going to pause there today. At this point in the podcast, we will go deeply into the mystery of the Godhead. We don't need to do that here. We've covered the Godhead extensively here preaching. Brother Jason DeMars has covered it very extensively. We don't need to cover that portion of it. I'd like to get to verse 2. So hopefully verse 2 we'll be able to begin with on next Sunday. I hope that covers verse 1 thoroughly. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show to his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So it's going to be the revelation of Christ that he gives to the church of his movements through 2,000 years, seven contiguous church ages. And we're at the last one. We're at the capping. We're at the wrapping up. We've already had the seventh star in the right hand of God. It's all the stars have been deployed. They've all been used. They've all been recalled. And now the bride is eating the book, because you are what you eat. And so we're becoming, because what we're eating is Christ the Word, not a man. We're not feeding on a man. We're feeding on the body word of the Son of Man. So God bless you today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our Sunday school class today. And I pray that you will give understanding and open the eyes, Lord. And not just in a theological way, but my goal is that the church can see their part in all of this. This is why Brother Branham would call it a great drama. And Lord, I feel privileged to be a part of it today. May you bless the teaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. Brother, sister, you can sit right there. The church, this regular service will begin in 5 or 10 minutes or so. Or you can take a break. It's like a little intermission. It's up to you. God bless you. Amen.